Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game at UT.
The Texas Tech kicker did a fake field goal. I mean, you could see in his face that he was going to make the first down. And Tony Brankins, outside linebacker, came across and completely destroyed him. I thought he was dead. Everyone thought he was dead. That hit will always be, you know, something I'll never forget for sure.
Put yourself in the action with tickets from Ticket City. Visit hook'em.com and click tickets.
Longhorn Confidential on a Monday. It's Iowa State week, folks. Only two games left in the regular season. Texas cruises on 7-3 and 5-2 in the Big 12 after a pretty interesting night out on the South Plains in the Hub City. Texas is a 41-34 winner over Texas Tech. Wild, wild comeback. 17-point lead evaporated in that cool, crisp Lubbock night. And Danny and Kirk and I were there. Cedric was not, and I'm always intrigued by the TV perspective. You said you saw all the fourth quarter. What did you see and what did you think as things were starting to melt down?
I was surprised that Texas was able to withstand the barrage that was Texas Tech in the fourth quarter. Jet Duffy turned into Cliff Kingsbury circa 2002. I mean, completing long passes right on the money where there was good coverage. It just seemed like it was a recipe for Texas to drop a heartbreaker 10 years after Crabtree to Harrell. But they hung in there. They made stops when they had to. And Sam Ellinger, I am just blown away by his improvement from freshman year to sophomore.
And when you open up today's Austin American Saves, when we ran the photo, I know that photo appeared in basically every other paper around the state, but it appeared in ours today. Photo of Humphrey making the catch, his own Crabtree moment. Me and Kirk are there with my mouth open. Can't believe it. Danny is not in the picture. He's getting an incredible video of the final play, which is on his Twitter feed. But said, in the end, did you think, here comes LJ and Texas has it? Or what did you think at the end?
At the end, I'm thinking, kick a field goal so I can be like 1 point off the exact final score I predicted, which was 38-34.
I like that.
And then he throws it to LJ. And like Danny said, in the Longhorn Unfiltered podcast, how he high-pointed it. He yes. went up and got it. And no one in the country goes up and gets it better than LJ. He's 6'4", but he plays like he's 6'10".
Yeah, I almost actually missed that video because I was getting ready during that timeout to put up a Dicker the Kicker gif because I thought he was going to get a chance to kick a long field
goal. That would have been a probable too.
Bill Jordan is such a freak of an athlete, and he played so well. He's come into his own. Texas obviously had a lot of questions going into that game without Colin going out. And the sad thing is, you know, he's played so well and he's not one of the Biletnikoff semifinalists just because receiver is so deep. And, you know, he may not be one of the five best receivers in this conference just because of, you know, some of the stats that some of those other guys are putting up. And unfortunately, Lil Jordan doesn't get to go against this Texas secondary as some of those other receivers have. And they've padded their stats in games against Texas. And they're certainly deserving of the praise they've got him, but, you know, Lil Jordan in that locker room, they know how good of a receiver he's been this year.
Absolutely. LJ has almost 1,000 yards, 947. He most likely will be a 1,000-yard receiver this year.
First time since John Childs, right?
John Harris.
John Harris.
2014, right?
John Childs. Q-package.
Ooh, I tell you what, that is reaching back. I really thought that him and Colin will both have 1,000 yards. Texas has not had two 1,000-yard receivers since 2008 when Quan and Shipley did it. Kirk, you know, I asked Tom about this today, but, you know, I think you would probably be right there with me. 7 wins, that's not that much. I get it. But that's a psychological hump for these guys to get over. I thought it was a psychological lift to win a game like that when they very easily could have just destroyed themselves and S the bed, but they didn't. What did you think of how they kind of pulled it all together and where this team is going now?
Well, they kind of controlled the game. You know, it looked like a 17-point victory. We were kind of upstairs in the
press box
writing our story
before
we went down for interviews.
Kind of like OU.
A little bit like, a whole lot like OU. Okay. And you mentioned Jet Duffy being like Cliff Kingsbury. He reminds me of Kyler Murray because he's got some wheels and
he can move.
He can really add some mustard on the ball. Mm-hmm. This was his third start for this quarterback. You think back to Sam Ellinger's third start and how erratic he was.
Don't make us.
And how much he has changed since last year. And I think, you know, he's just such a quarterback genius, Kingsbury.
Right.
He's got him. And if Alan Bowman's playing, though, not sure Texas gets out of there.
Maybe some
Duffy had some bad turnovers.
Yeah, maybe a different conversation if Bowman plays.
But you're right, because after losing two straight, their season was on the line. And I'm not saying Herman's program's on the line, but the direction they're headed was on the line.
Sure.
If they just fall into, you know, 6-4, that bandwagon would be a little light.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I know a lot of Texas fans are upset about the way that the defense played in the fourth quarter, but still, if you look at the game as a whole, Devontae Davis had an interception at the 2. They forced Duffy to turn it over 3 times, and then there was a fourth down stop after Cliff just mindlessly went for it. That was stupid.
But you see,
you should have seen that.
I did see that, and I was like, why are you gambling right now, Cliff?
His reasoning wasn't bad, because remember Texas had that 18-play drive for, what was it, 9 minutes?
Mm-hmm. 8-10.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like forever, and he thought, we may not get the ball back. So I understand the thinking, but it's just too big a gamble.
And don't forget about that great strip by Davis on the sideline. That may have been the play of the year.
And Devontae was, you know, the conference's co-defensive player of the week today, so, and that was well-deserved. But obviously, if you just look at the stats and you just look at the scores, this is not going in any you know, scrapbook at Texas. But, you know, they did have some nice individual moments, especially for a team that, you know, the injury report was just about as long as the stat sheet afterwards.
Absolutely. I mean, Devontae Davis, Cameron Dicker, and Little Jordan Humphrey all earned Player of the Week honors this week from the Big 12. I'm sure the league office on some level knows this is what Big 12 football is, right? And so it's okay to give a defensive player the award, even though they gave up 34 points in a crazy finish.
And the key, as Tom said today, getting takeaways. Texas hadn't gotten a takeaway 2 straight games, lost those games by a total of 4 points, where maybe 1 takeaway each game. They win both of those games, and they did that, so I'd give them credit for that, you know, if very little else.
It's the Pac-12 East, except that we don't have to stay up till 2 o'clock to see who won. I mean,
it's better than
we stayed up till 2 to writing.
I know. And the readership appreciates it. While y'all were doing that, my wife and I were at Southside Market in Elgin.
Were you having a good time?
Nice. Fantastic.
A little brisket, a little sausage.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about this week's game. You know, when the schedule came out, I guarantee you that TV executives took a look at the Texas schedule and they went, okay, Iowa State, whatever. Yeah, put that game on LHN.
Because Kansas is on the road, that's why.
Exactly, Kansas on the road. Okay, who's the second worst opponent? Okay, Iowa State. The Little Cyclones, who we all agreed that when they played Texas last year, they were on the come.
No question.
Absolutely.
No question.
And Matt Campbell and company have it going this year. Iowa State possibly is playing one of the best. They're playing the best football of anyone in the Big 12
right now. Best defense, for sure.
Absolutely. Danny, let's start with you. David Montgomery is going to miss the first half for being in a fight against Baylor. Does that change what Iowa State's going to do? If you're Texas, do you prepare any differently?
I mean, I don't think you can prepare any different. Maybe, you know, you look at the film and kind of see if any of those running backs can present different challenge, but they didn't have him against Oklahoma State, and they still scored 48, and obviously they didn't have him at the end of the Baylor game, or kind of able to put the Bears away. So, I mean, you expect him to come in the second half. Obviously, he's a very talented running back, and, you know, they're going to have a game plan for him. But, I mean, I don't think you just assume it's going to be a lot easier game just because he's not going to be out there for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, it will have an effect. I mean, I don't know if he's their best player, but he's one of their top 3 players, I would think. And if you took L.J. Humphrey or Sam Ellinger or somebody like that out, it would have an effect on Texas. So this is a team that relies on his defense. You look at the only average, let me see, it's 370 yards a game. You know, in the Big 12, that's a good half. You know, so they're winning with defense and mistake-free play. They only average like 5 penalties a game. Had 42 penalties all year long. So it's a smart, disciplined team, David Montgomery's little scuffle aside. But that looked obviously provoked. And I'm not sure, should he be kicked out for a half for that, Dave Montgomery, when a guy's reaching over the ref and punching him in the face?
He got suckered punched. It's unfortunate, but, I mean, you got to have a rule. I mean,
fighting is fighting.
I think the conference wants to get into a place where they're judging intent and trying to say, oh, well, he punched first and all that stuff. I mean, you just have a hard and fast rule, and unfortunately, David Montgomery reacted to what was pretty much a sucker punch.
Yeah, it really was.
I think it does affect them big time because they're kind of a slow-it-down offense. They want to take the air out of the ball, to steal a basketball term, walk the ball up the court, take the air out, run the shot clock down. They're that kind of team. They want to make the game more of a mutter, but they do have a spectacular wideout by the name of Hakeem Butler, and he is box office. He's got long arms. He's about 6'6". He's Colin Johnson size, maybe a little bit bigger. and he's impossible to tackle. I watched him just pretty much own the Oklahoma cornerbacks a few weeks ago. So given Texas's struggles in the secondary with Chris Boyd and Devontae Davis, Caden Stearns has had his ups and downs. That's going to be one to watch. Will Brock Purdy be able to get him the ball?
26 seniors will be honored on Senior Day on Saturday, including some well-known household names. Charles Omenihu, Patrick Vahe, Andrew Beck, career year. You feel me, right? PJ Locke. So that'll be really interesting to see. No juniors are expected to walk this year. I think I wouldn't read too much into that.
No juniors of significance. There are four juniors on the list.
But I wouldn't read too much into that. So we still don't know what little Jordan Humphrey and Colin Johnson and some of those others may do. But let's go around the horn real quick. Guys, this is a top 25 matchup in late November. I would argue this is the biggest home game since Oklahoma State in 2013.
And I'd say in the last 2 weeks.
I agree.
Yeah, West Virginia was pretty big.
But this is big, too. Big 12 title is absolutely still on the line. Let's start with Danny. What happens on Saturday?
I don't think they lose the rest of the way until, you know, if they make the, you know, conference championship game or, you know, a bowl game, we can talk then. But I think they went out and win this weekend and beat Kansas.
Zed?
I think they win this weekend. Not having Matt Montgomery is a big deal for Iowa State, even though he's not having as good a year as he did last year. But he's their most experienced offensive player. So they win, they beat Kansas, and then they hope to get some help. Maybe face OU again at Jerry World.
Yeah, they're only averaging 27 points a game, and that's very un-Big 12-like. And they've won five straight, but that's hard to do in this league. So that shows you how good a defense they're playing. And if you take away, as we said, David Montgomery, one of their key cogs offensively, you're kind of fighting with one hand behind your back. I'm excited because this is the 500th game at DKR.
You've seen 450 of them,
I think. And those were great, too. But this is going to be another classic, like those 475 I've been to. And I'm a Danny. I think they're rolling now. They got momentum. This would be much scarier names. I'd be much more worried with the injuries if they were playing the Cyclones on their home field. But I like Texas. I think I agree with Danny. I think they're going to win the next two.
I do, too. I think Texas wins out, and we have a 9-3 football team. And then next week, guys, I think we come in here talking about, will West Virginia beat Oklahoma?
Oh, woo! For sure. Now, who predicted 9-3 preseason? Anyone?
Anyone?
I had 8-4.
I don't see anyone's hands up. Anthony Geronimo would have his hand up, no doubt.
No, he's not, said 12.
He's not here.
I do not regret my preseason prediction.
You were leaning towards 6-6.
So. I don't regret it at all.
Yeah. It's going to be a much more fun bowl season for us if they finish 9-3,
Daniel. Maybe we go
Daniel.
To Sugar or the Alamo Bowl, one of those two. Sugar Bowl would be nice.
As long as it's not the Alamo Bowl.
Alamo Bowl. Long
we could go to San Antonio
Bowl
right now if we want. Right.
Let's pull for New Orleans.
I'd rather go to No Bowl.
How about Fiesta? Fiesta's, you know.
Fiesta would be good.
Can we get John Junker to come host us again? Great.
Oh, dear. On that note, we better pull the plug. We're running a little long, but, hey, listen, Texas this season is going to keep running, too. That's it for us today, Longhorn Confidential. Again, Texas 7-3, guys. Iowa State, 7 o'clock Saturday night at Royal Memorial Stadium on senior night for 26 Longhorns. You can read all about it at hookem.com, and we'll talk to you next time.